Well, thanks for that wonderful time of worship, time to give God thanks and praise. And we have the wonderful blessing of opening 2 Peter today and looking at a wonderful passage of Scripture. So we're going to be up for action here. Is it good? Okay, good deal. So if you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Peter, it's in, it should work. Let's see. Okay. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses, this morning is verses 19 through 21. So we're finishing up chapter 1, and next chapter we will get into the issue that is being addressed here, and that is false teachers that have come into the churches or that are coming into the churches, and Peter is giving warning. So he's repeating the message of the gospel, making it abundantly clear in regard to what the truth of the gospel is. And so let's begin actually with verse 16 and cover the verses that we looked at last week, because here in these verses we have the apostles' message and the apostles' testimony in regard to the special revelation that was given to them as the Messiah came. And then in verses 19 through 20 this morning, we'll look at the confirmation that message and testimony was in regard to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy and the significance of Bible prophecy and the given revealed Word of God, the objective truth of it. So it's very necessary and needful for our faith. But look at verse 16. I'll read out loud, you follow along. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But we know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And what a wonderful passage to consider and look at today. The prophetic confirmation of the apostles' testimony is what Peter is appealing to here to the believers in the church. And remember in chapter 1 there he's saying that you have received a faith as the same kind as ours, a like faith of the same value and the same power as that which the apostles received. And he goes on to give this testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the coming of the Messiah. And so this special revelation is also fulfilled prophecy. We go back to the covenant that was given to David, to the promise of a coming house of God, a coming presence of God that would be made available to mankind through the plan and purposes of God the Father, that he would bring you, each one of you. The offer has been given through the gospel of Jesus Christ, but only through this gospel. It is Jesus Christ who is the way and the truth and the life. And there's no way to come back to the Father except through the Father's plan, which included the coming of the Messiah and the Messiah offering up His life. And so testimony was given, and the apostles were there on that holy mountain when the majestic glory declared that this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And the plan of God was unfolding, that Christ, the Messiah, would go to the cross of Calvary, and there your sins, by the miraculous power of God, would be placed upon Him, for the penalty of your sin was death. But the gift of God through Jesus Christ was eternal life. That life has been given to you just as surely as your death has been placed on Jesus Christ. The eternal life has been given and offered to you through the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. For by the power and the glory of God, He did away with our sin. This morning, we are here this morning as guiltless sinners. Those that have sinned, those with whom the power of death pervaded, it was a cloud that hung over us. But Jesus Christ, with the work that only He could do, the perfect Lamb of God, He took upon Himself your sin personally. You can put your personal name in that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, you can put your name there, that Jim Davis, whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the promise and the power of God that was worked through the Lord Jesus Christ, the miraculous work that He did on your behalf. And there's no other way. There's not other religions. There's not other ways to God. There's not many ways to God. There's many ways to damnation and separation from God. But there's one way by which we as God's creatures, as created in God's image, could return back to Him, be redeemed back to Him by the forgiveness of our sins. So this morning, as we sang these songs and offered up our praise to God, it was offered up in praise to the fact that God did what we could not do. He is our salvation. He is our Savior. And this message that the apostles bring is life. It is the day dawning. It is the morning star rising in our hearts when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and by grace through faith enter into that relationship with God that had been broken by our sin but has been redeemed. We've been reconciled to God and brought back to Him. It's the wonderful truth of the gospel, and it must be understood that it required the Lamb of God, the precious Lamb of God, the one who had no sin, God Himself who took upon Himself flesh, the Son of the Father that came, deity, divinity that came and dwelt among us, the Word which was in the beginning with God and was God, the Word which created all things, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news to you and to me this morning. As we enjoy God's presence, as we enjoy eternal life, not somewhere in the future, but right now, God has called us. And God has accomplished for you eternal life given freely as a grace gift in Jesus Christ, with much cost. It cost a lot for Jesus Christ to leave His place of glory. That glory which He had with the Father before the world was, He left that glory and came to dwell among us and took upon Himself human flesh in order to bear our sin on the cross of Calvary. That's the message of the gospel. We must be clear with it because our world, the evangelical church, has defected. It's no longer there's no longer a clear gospel being given by the so-called evangelistic churches out there. It's a mess. And these false teachers that Peter is going to be addressing, they did come and they have subverted the gospel and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to be clear with that gospel. So let's look at the prophetic confirmation that is given in 2 Peter 1, verses 19. Verse 19, so we have this prophetic word made more sure. Now he's saying what the deal is that we have the prophetic word confirmed by the things that we observed, by the revelation that was given to us by the coming of God's own Son, that he who was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, taking upon himself the flesh of the offspring of David in accordance with the prophecies that were given. Wonderful prophecies that were given. And there's confirmation, Peter says, that what our testimony is true to you. Testimony is true. Because the prophetic word has made that confirmation more sure. It's sure to you. And that's hugely significant. Because somewhere out there in the mess of this world, we need confirmation that comes from God Himself, from God's Word, from the truth that only God, who has complete integrity and perfect righteousness and benevolence and kindness and mercy and those things, we need that sure word. And faith is built upon that. Faith can't be built on anything less. If we say, well, God's Word was written by men, and men had this to say, but men make mistakes, and we do not understand what's being addressed here in regard to what Peter is teaching in regard to the confirmation and the significance of the confirmation of the prophetic word. Because you see, if we do not put our trust in the integrity of God, we have nothing. There's absolutely nothing. So it's the Word of God that is sure. It is the truth of the prophecies that were given, and the fact that God's integrity is indisputable. He simply cannot lie. And because of that, we know that we have eternal life. We know that this morning we sang praise to God and enjoyed His presence because that eternal life has been given to us in Jesus Christ. It's been given. It's rich and free and sweet for God's people. We have the prophetic word made sure. It is confirmation. It is absolute truth. So the apostles' testimony confirms Bible prophecy. Okay? Not working, eh? What's that? Okay. Okay. And it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It is confirmed because God said it. God prophesied it. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved, but the word was made sure. The testimony of the apostles was made sure because it's confirmation of fulfilled Bible prophecy, that which God spoke through the prophets. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention. So in the outline, the truth of these notes, the point is that as we read about in verse 16 there, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales. We did not follow the myths, but prophecy was fulfilled. We did not follow that which was cleverly devised tales or anything that was not sure in its confirmation. So Jesus in John 10, 25 and 26, Jesus answers that, I told you and you do not believe. The words that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. And this conflict that Jesus had in the Gospels with the hearts of men and with the leaders of Israel and those to whom the covenants and the prophecies were given, there was a rejection of the light of that truth, of the light of the truth of the gospel, of the light of the fulfillment of the prophecies that were given and the plan and purposes of God as it was being revealed to mankind. Because of the hardness of heart, there was a rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a rejection of the fulfilled prophecies. There was the rejection of the words that He spoke and the works that He did, as the hardness of man's heart rejected Him, the one who took upon Himself human flesh. And He was not lovely. He was. Do you notice in the Scripture that it says that David was a handsome man? But it never says that about the Lord Jesus. In fact, it says just the opposite. It says that He was despised, that they looked at Him and they didn't like Him, that He was not physically, it seems in Scripture, a handsome man. But He was, and He took upon Himself. Isn't it interesting that God would think, well, God would have His Son born in a palace, and He would have His Son in human flesh. Well, that would be the prettiest, the most handsome of men that ever existed. But God didn't do that. And think about it for a moment, because especially those of you that have trouble with your personal appearance or that type of thing, that God chose for His Son to be raised in a resurrection body that by human standards is not the prettiest man that ever walked the earth. And He's going to be in that resurrection body for eternity. Isn't that interesting? To me, I find that fascinating. But the word of prophecy was made sure and true, and it was not myth, but fulfilled prophecy, and all of the mysteries of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It just makes you want to worship Him. It puts in your heart this heaviness of what He really deserves from us as His people. And we want to, don't you want to move on? Don't you want to go deeper? Don't you want to know God? The Scripture says that this is eternal life, to know Thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. We have the privilege of knowing God, and He's mysterious. He's way beyond anything that we can figure out. We can't put Him in a box. There's nothing that we can do to see and to know this apart from God, His Spirit, enabling us, quickening us with His Word. But the best thing that we can do, the best thing that we can do as God's people, is to lay hold to the things that He has revealed to us, to the truth that He has given to us in His Word, and to lay hold of that and for it to be precious, to be valuable in our heart, so that it's transforming and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ literally shines through His people. Why? Because God has made it available. He's made it available for the glory of Christ to be seen through you. But it's only seen through you as you abide in Jesus Christ and as His Word abides in you. That transforming Word that leaves all behind, all of the temporal and passing trash that is here, is seen as nothing in regard to the value of this prophetic fulfilled word and the gravity of what it means to us. And don't you want to move on to know the fullness of the glory of Jesus Christ and the power of God, and to know Him with this intimacy and relationship that Peter and these apostles had? Because you know what? Peter says that those who have trusted in Christ has the same like faith, of the same precious value that they have. There's nothing that Peter had that you do not have. The Holy Spirit of God through Jesus Christ has come to indwell your life. And seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, God in His grace and His mercy didn't leave one thing out in this that is not a myth, in this prophecy that has been fulfilled, in the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ, He did not leave out one thing for you in regard to life and godliness. You're saying, but preacher, my experience denies that. It doesn't seem, that doesn't seem real to me, and I'm not experiencing that, that kind of fullness. But you can. Because you know why? Because God's Word says that you can. It's just a matter of leaving it behind. Leave it behind. Let it go. And the process here has been given by Jesus Christ. He that follows after me must take up his cross and follow me. That seed must die in order that the new life is born within us. And so we, in sanctification, we go through this process where you die to self that the life of Christ is made manifest in you. That's the process. That's sanctification. Happens by faith. It happens in regard to God's Word. And it's on the basis of the promises of God's Word. God's Word says, and He has granted to you precious and magnificent promises that by these you might be made partaker of the divine nature. I'm asking you a serious heart-to-heart question this morning. Do you feel like a partaker of the divine nature? Did you walk this week in the glory of what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature? Well, is God's Word true or is it not? And what, how do we lay hold of such things? How do we experience what God has declared in His Word and has said about us to be true? And that's the significance of faith. It's the significance of what Peter is saying in this chapter, that these prophecies fulfilled, the Word of God, His integrity is sure and true, and living the Christian life, Peter is saying, is based upon what Christ did for you and the grace of God that comes to you only through faith. So the Scripture says, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. That's where the power is. That's where the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory, is expressed. That's where sanctification takes place. That's where we die to self that the life of Christ is made manifest within us. It's glorious. It's a wonderful thing that only the power and grace of God can do, but it's sure and it's true because God says it's true, and His Word, He cannot lie to you. All has been supplied, all things pertaining to life and godliness. Let's move on. Let's move on as God's people. Let's move on in sanctification. Let's put aside all the grub and grime of this world that we might reach for the beauty and the glory of true eternal life and what God has done for God's people. He loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son that these things could be true about you. It's awesome. It is wonderful. It is glorious. There's nothing to compare to the glory of Christ's gospel. And so Jesus said, I told you, but you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. And these testify to me. You don't believe God's Word. Jesus said, it's good enough. It's good enough for me. Is it good enough for you? My experience may deny it. My flesh will war against the Spirit and Spirit against the flesh, but what God says is true is true. Therefore, I confess my sins. I acknowledge, God, I'm a sinful man, lost without hope except for Jesus Christ. Forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness as according to the promise of your Word. And there's freedom. Freedom in Christ Jesus. Scripture says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Be free, God's people. Be free. Be free from all of the muck and all of the mire and all of the things that are wrong in the human heart, to embrace the glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of His gospel, that we might represent well. For you have been called to be ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That's your calling. That's who you are. That's who you're supposed to be. That's what God has called you to be. That's what God went to such tremendous work and did such an incredible thing, an unfathomable thing. Still can't understand how God could take upon himself human flesh and do what we could not do to provide this for us, but he did. His word is true. Their word is not myth, but prophecy fulfilled. It's sure confirmation to you. So if you're there worried about whether Jesus Christ's work was enough to forgive all of the sins that you've committed, forget about it. God's word is true. That eternal life has been given in what God has done. Only God could do. And it could only be done by Him. So quit trying to figure things out and work things out otherwise. Trust in the Word of God. And know that that eternal life has been given to you. And it's for here and now. To be embraced. To be lived by. To be a display of the glory of God's grace. Of His love for mankind. And offer it. Offer it to others. Secondly, is it working now, Lori? It is not. Okay, so I'm working this thing. All right. Thank you. Things, you know, regardless of what you do, things, you know, they don't work. God reminds us that we're not in control. And especially, we know that, and we learn that a lot with computers and such things, don't we? Sound systems and, you know, whatever else. That's just life in a fallen world. So, okay, secondly there, pay attention to the prophecy and you do well. Notice that he says, so we have this prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp. Okay, this paying attention. Pay attention to the prophecy. Know the Word of God. Pay attention to the prophecy and you will do well. The psalmist, his prayer, order my steps in thy word and let not iniquity have dominion over me. This should be our prayer. Order my steps in accordance with your word. To the divine promises, to that which connects me to divinity. Because it's those precious and magnificent promises He's granted to us, these precious and magnificent promises, that we might be made partakers of that divine nature. So ordering our steps in accordance with His Word is to hear His Word, and by faith, for supernaturally, for that word to be made alive within us. And that's the glory, again, of what God has done. And let not iniquity have dominion over us. Notice the significance of prayer. And Jesus taught it. He taught it to His disciples in a time of temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, I will show it to you tonight, by the way, at 6 o'clock at our place. Just a quick blurb. But there in the Garden of Gethsemane, to the disciples, watch and pray, for the time of trial, the time of temptation is coming. So what do? We watch with vigilance and pray. And here the psalmist prays, order my steps in accordance with your word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. Because the fight's always there. The flesh is always going to war against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And when we work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, what that means is in humility and in connection to God through His Word, by faith, His power is made manifest in us. The glory of Jesus Christ is made manifest in us. That iniquity has not dominion over us. And so Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You notice how many times in Scripture this theme comes up, and through the Psalms this comes up time and again. You know, let not iniquity have dominion over me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Pray. Pray for victory. Because your victory won't come with self-effort, as Peter learned so vividly in his lifetime. That even though he was fully committed to the Lord Jesus, he denied the Lord Jesus. Well, why did that happen, and what made the difference in Peter's life later on? Well, there was that that connection, that reality of the living Word of God made manifest in Peter, the life of Jesus Christ through these precious and magnificent promises, the Word given that by faith embraced, that grace embraced by faith was lived out in Peter's life. And it was manifested. And Peter says, you got the faith, the same faith, the same value, the same glory as ours. And then moving on, pay attention to the prophecy and you will do well. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, because it's a lamp for the darkness of this world. Notice again in verse 19, until the day dawns. For pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Okay. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Pay attention. Pay attention to this lamp. Now think about this for just a moment. What happens to the human heart when truth is given to us and we reject it? The heart becomes cold. The heart is dead. And Peter here is making the point of how important it is that when God gives us truth, that we value it, and that we cling to that truth, and that we see it as a treasure. And the truth of the matter is, the reality is, and you can see it through the Gospels, that there is a very clear indication that the amount of truth that's given to the individual is determined by the value that that individual holds that truth with. Okay, you reject it and the heart gets hard and it gets cold and more truth is not given, but more darkness comes. That's what we mean here by the light is shining in the dark place when the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ came. When that glory, that Word made flesh that dwelt among us and we beheld His glory, glory is of the only begotten of the Father, that was hugely significant and something to be treasured and valued. It's a lamp shining in darkness. It's a light given to mankind who's lost in darkness, has no hope for any answers to the things. And we see it in our country today, and we see it in our churches today, that people are lost and walking in darkness, and much of it is because we've heard the gospel, we've heard God's Word, and simply rejected it. We did not value it. We did not treasure it. And so that lamp is being extinguished. And that's exactly what the book of Revelation talks about when Jesus Christ addresses the truth, addresses the church, and addresses truth that is given to the church, that lamp can be snuffed out. We don't want the lamp snuffed out. We don't want to harden our heart to the truth that God gives us. And that's why we should work out our salvation in fear and trembling, in humility, crying out to God in prayer, praying that He might order our steps in His Word by His grace, by His power, through faith, that we might know those things, that iniquity might not have dominion over us, and that this lamp might shine, and that it might break through our lives to the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're to pay attention to the prophecy until the light of God's presence is yours. The light of God's presence is yours. Jesus Christ shines through your life. The glory of God's Word is seen in you by the way that your marriage runs, by the way that you handle your finances, by the way that you work and do your business, by the way that everything that you do, God's Word has so invaded your life that they can only see the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's not about you, but it's about the glory of our Lord shining through God's people, that others might know hope, that they might be delivered from darkness, that the light of God's presence is yours and enjoyed, and eternal life is enjoyed, not sometime later in the future when we go to see Christ, but right now. By faith through God's grace, or by grace through God's faith, we lay hold of these wonderful things, wonderful truths, and we enjoy the glory of God's presence. Own the truth. Own it. Own it in Jesus Christ. It's yours, freely given. Know it. Own it. Feed upon it. Value it. Treasure it. Think about it. Pray for it. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do. You can't do it. It's impossible for Jim Davis to correct himself. And behavior modification doesn't cut it. But transformation from God's Word does cut it. God has done what we could not do for ourselves. And we stand guiltless before God because of His grace. Matthew 4:16 says, "The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in land and the shadow of death upon them, the light dawned." The light of Jesus Christ has been given to you as people. Let it shine. I love that little song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, let it shine. Own the truth. By faith, lay hold of what God said to you. His integrity is good. His word is good. His power is good. He is sufficient where you are not sufficient to the challenge. God is all sufficient for every challenge. With God, all things are possible. Don't walk in darkness. Walk in light. Pay attention to the prophecy and you will do well until the light of God's presence is yours. In Revelation 22, verse 16, it says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." The bright morning star. Until the light of God's presence is yours. And then prophecy not miss is from miss a man, but is from God. I don't know why that's there. Then the light is not given privately to persons or groups. I'm saying this and making the point of this because Peter is saying this is not something that's hidden. It's not some secret thing that some false teacher, some cultic group over here is going to say, "Okay, I've got the truth. I know that you're struggling in the Christian life. And I know that sanctification hasn't anywhere close to become real to you. So this is what you need over here. It's this secret truth that I've come to understand." And Peter is making the point here that this truth is not hidden. That light was not hidden under a bushel. This truth is given to you. It is there. It's right there available. It's not a secret. It's not given by secret groups. It is the gospel that's always been the gospel. It's always been the same. It's been the confirmation of the prophecies that were given. It's been confirmation by the works and the words of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the confirmation of the apostles' message and testimony. It's the confirmation of this sure prophecy that was given. All of these things are true. Until the light of God's presence is yours, own the truth. And then, moving on to verse 20 then, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart, that's the glory of the gospel, transforming the heart when the light comes on and we see our sin and confess our sin and come to the salvation that Jesus Christ alone gives. There's some controversy about what this passage actually means, but I'm pretty sure and pretty confident that when it says that until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart, that he's talking about the brilliance and the glory of the gospel in our hearts and in the inner person. The heart is the control center of the human being. It's your control center. What you love drives you. What you desire in your heart drives you. The desires of men drive them to what they love in life, what they pursue in life, how they spend their life. When the heart is given to Jesus Christ, when it's given to the truth of the gospel, it drives you. It's the control center of what things you pursue. And so that light, when it dawns, and when the glory of Jesus Christ dawns there, lay hold of it. as something precious. Verse 20, but know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Prophecy is... okay. Not the myths of men. God's light is not given prophecy to persons or groups. And I'm lost in my notes here. I beg your pardon. God's word is not contrived by men's will. Okay, so know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. It's not persons or groups. It's not determined by the will of man or the interpretation of man or the ideas of man. Okay, and in verse 21, for no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Okay, so the Scripture says, forever, think of this, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's not earthly. It's not settled here. It's not determined by what some deep theologian with a doctorate at your nearest seminary decided it means. It's settled in heaven. It's settled in heaven by God. It doesn't matter how they interpret. God settled it, and what He spoke is true. Now, it is true that we seek to exposit God's word, what He said to us, and understand what God's word is. And it should be settled here in our hearts and here on earth, because He settled it in heaven, and it's spoken once, and it's true. It doesn't change. It's immutable. God is immutable. His word is immutable. His integrity is immutable. And so what He spoke, what He settled in heaven, His plan and His purpose for men's redemption is true, and it's sure, and we can trust in it. We can rest in it, and we can know the light and the glory of that, and of that truth of the gospel. So in verse 21, for no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will. God's word is not contrived by man's will, but forever it's been settled in heaven. Settle it in your heart. Settle it in your heart this morning. If there's ever been a doubt, there's ever been a concern on your part that maybe God misspoke, or maybe in the Scripture I'm not understanding these things, certain things that are very clear, that are very confirmed by the prophecies, that are given by God's word, not man's own interpretation, not by human will, but by God Himself settled in heaven. Settle it in your heart, in your life this morning. Don't walk out of this building. Don't live another moment without that assurance and that settled decision in your heart and your life that this word that God has given to me is a lamp to me. It is a lamp and a light unto my feet. It is that which I order my steps in. It's how I live. Do it without hypocrisy. Take God's word into your heart and into your life. Take the light that He's given to you and live by it. It's meant to be taken outside these doors. God's word, His truth, must go out of this place. We can't hide out in here. We can't put the lamp under or the light under a bushel. It needs to be the principles and the truths that are here that are clear. We need to throw off. Scripture says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is your acceptable, reasonable, and acceptable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you leave God's word in here and go out and live in accordance, in conformity to the world, in conformity to what the world's standards are, and leave the light of God's truth in this building, it's useless. Your life is, you've lost your very purpose. The reason that God sent you here, the calling that you're a minister of reconciliation, the calling that you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ has been left behind. And Christians for too long in the United States of America have left their Christianity inside these doors. It needs to invade life. It needs to invade your business. It needs to invade politics. It needs to invade everything. God's truth is not meant to be kept inside these doors. Live by it. Hold on to it. Speak the truth. Tell people the truth. They're not going to want to hear it because they're going to want to conform you to themselves. They're going to want to conform you to their standards. They're going to want to conform you to those things which are unprofitable. Reject it. Turn away from it. And lay hold of the truth of God's Word and live by the truth of God's Word. And don't be afraid to speak and expect that you will be persecuted as Christ was persecuted, that people won't like what you have to say, and take those stands because God has called us for just such a time as this that we might be a light, that we would bring the gospel, that we'd share the truth. And the gospel is the full Word of God. It's what Christ taught. The gospel and sharing the gospel means not only that we share the salvation, the justification that is in Jesus Christ, but the truth of His Word to live by, discipling others in the truth of God's Word. For no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Prophecy was given by God's Spirit through men. That's amazing. I don't know why God would do that, but I know that God can do it. With God, all things are possible. And so when I look in this book, I don't look at it as a book full of myths or tales, something that's given by a secret group that has some kind of secret knowledge. This is God's Word. It is a prophecy made more sure and confirmed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and for your truth. May we live by it. May we walk in the light of your word and truth. God, lay it in our hearts that as your people, we would be a mighty army for Jesus Christ. In a day and a time when such darkness has pervaded our country, pervaded our churches, God, we ask that you would stir our hearts to revival. That there might be an awakening that starts here with myself and with the wonderful people here at Grace Bible Church that love you and that seek after you. God, put a flame in our heart and may the light of your truth burn within us as we share the gospel with others, as we speak the truth, and as we go out from this place, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.